It's time to meet up and catch up at the Weekend Water Cooler. Now, here's your host, Gene Bolduc.
Welcome to the Weekend Water Cooler. I am Gene Bolduc, your host, and happy Thanksgiving, everyone. We should be, if all things go straight to plan, we should be airing on Thanksgiving weekend. And, you know, Thanksgiving in my house is not just a day, it's the whole weekend.
Oh, it's a week.
Because usually the food lasts for a good long time. Anyway, so we are joined today. I'm so thrilled that we are joined today by our good friend Dolores Bailey. Hello, Dolores.
Hello, Jean.
And her sidekick, Carlton Tate, who is here because he needs a ride home.
Yes.
Thank you, Carlton. And of course, not even last but not least, Penny and Jackie Rich, the Rich twins.
That's Thank
what
you,
I called
Jean.
Rich. And all I need to really do is find somebody named Famous, and then we can have the Rich and Famous.
Wouldn't that be great?
Somebody should change their name to Famous just so you can go around
that.
And do that joke.
Dolores Famous Dolores, or Famous Dolores?
Famous Dolores. I think Famous Dolores. So we have Rich and Famous.
That's an old show, though. Isn't that dating ourselves a little bit when we say that?
The Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous?
Yeah.
Yes, with Robin Leach, who passed away this year.
Yes,
so,
man.
You know, well, bless his heart. I'm sure he went to a send-off of champagne. Whatever the tagline, champagne wishes and whatever.
Something dreams.
Yeah. I don't know. See, that's just so memorable and yet not really at all.
Yeah.
We wanted to just start off by mentioning that we all got together, all of us ladies, no offense, Carlton, we all got together around Mother's Day and did a wonderful, tons of fun show on Mother's Day. And since that time, Dolores has lost her mom.
Yes.
And she has gone on. And I'd like you to just take a moment, if you wouldn't mind, and just tell us about your mom and how the family's doing, because we love you and we love your family and we want to know how everyone is.
Thank you. Thank you for asking. My mom was Lida Malloy. She had been an employee of UNC Hospitals in the newborn nursery for 32 years.
Oh, my goodness. What a great job.
It was, and she loved it. She had 7 children of her own, and then she went on to professionally retire from a place where she took care of everybody's babies. So those folk who are in Chapel Hill, probably age, I would say, 30 to 60, she touched them in some way. She was huge in our community. We lived on Graham Street. She lived on Graham Street. I still do. And just loved a lot of the folk in the neighborhood, and they loved her. So we'll miss her. This is our first year without her, Thanksgiving. A lot of our family, like most families, revolve around your moms. And so we will be just sending up thoughtful prayers about her and knowing that she's looking down on us.
Now, what was your mom's signature dish that you just can't get anywhere else?
Oh, my gosh. Two things. She used to do rice and chicken. And she used to do a banana bread that was wild.
Wow.
And for the fire department, because my husband was a fireman for Chapel Hill, she used to make them big bowls of banana pudding, and they would send the empty bowls and the bananas so she could fill it back up again.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
She loved doing that. She loved feeding people.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Can I ask a question? You talk about Graham Street, which is in the North Side neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Was your family one of the older families that had grown up in that area, or was your mom the first generation that moved in there?
So my mom inherited the house in 75 from her brother, who had lived there for a while. But we were from the Durham County side. We were out across from Metal Mount is where we grew up.
Right.
She was there since 75. My uncle before her was probably there in the early 70s. So, but all of us really, really well steeped in Chapel Hill history.
Right.
So when we lived out on Barbie's Chapel Road, we came into Chapel Hill. She was a part of the hospital staff, as were both of her brothers. So we've been,
part of the North Side neighborhood. Mm-hmm. That's great. I love that, Dolores. Yeah.
So I know that at your table this year, you're all going to be a little bit bittersweet, but we'll be talking about being thankful for your mom.
Yes.
And Penny, you get to be thankful for your mom by looking to your left.
Right.
And I am thankful for your mom, to be honest with you, because my mom passed away in 2011, and I miss having a mom to call up and ask about. For many of the last, the last 10 or 15 years of her life, I would call my mom and I would I have to tell the truth. I would pretend that I was having a little bit of trouble making my apple pie and that I wanted to ask her just this one thing about the pie so that she would walk me through the whole process, which I usually already had the pie in the oven by that point. But I would do that because I know it was important for her to feel like she was contributing to our family meal. She was in Connecticut and I was here. And so you always think about that and about what your mom brought you for Thanksgiving, how she's brought your family's traditions to your table.
Sure.
So since Chef Penny is Chef Penny, I'm going to ask you, what is your thankful list?
So it's interesting. So most people in Chapel Hill and Carver, Orange County know that my mom lives with me.
Yes.
So I could talk to her whenever I want or choose not to, which sometimes happens. Just saying.
That's a must.
So everybody also knows that her nickname is Jersey Jackie because she's lived down south now for probably 25 years and still speaks like she's straight out of Brooklyn. Talking about calling, my sisters call her almost every day. My sisters live on the West Coast, and so they don't get to talk to her when they want. So they call her every day. One calls in the morning, one calls in the evening, usually right between when we're having cocktails and dinner. So
the least convenient time?
The least convenient time. I mean, cocktail time is just not a good time to be having a conversation with mom because, you know, she's singly focused on one thing at that point. Interestingly enough, Thanksgiving was a lot of fun in our house growing up, and it was very traditional meals, very Americana. But I'm going to say this, and Mom's going to be sitting right here, and she's going to look kind of like she might butt in and yell.
We can call 911 if we need to.
Not the greatest cook in the world. And so, you know, lessons were learned more from my grandmother than my mother.
Yeah.
And, you know, she knows this. I'm not saying anything that's
shocking. Yeah. No shocking revelation.
Right? Talking.
Would it bother you if I don't agree with you?
You are the greatest cook in the world?
She's the greatest cook in the world.
She's the greatest cook in the world. Okay.
Also, interestingly enough, being from a Jewish family, there's always a little bit of sort of Jewish food in there that, you know, doesn't really belong in Thanksgiving, but it's there. And I think, you know, Dolores will tell you a little bit as well with Southerners. I mean, there's something in there that, you know, other people might not have on their Thanksgiving table.
We never had mac and cheese with Thanksgiving dinner, but it's a very common Southern.
Very common Southern.
We never had anything. We didn't know too much about mac and cheese up in North.
What are some of the Southern things that you bring to the table during Thanksgiving?
We would dare not have sweet potatoes at the table. Yams were a staple at our house
for
Thanksgiving.
So you couldn't put them on there?
Yams with lots of sugar and cinnamon and butter. Oh, my gosh. No, we couldn't do it without that. We used to have a dish called, it was a tomato dish made similar to that with bread. And it would be the tomatoes and the water and lots of sugar.
What in the world?
Try it. We used to have it all the time.
It was like a bread pudding with tomatoes?
It's a tomato pudding. It was a tomato pudding.
Tomato pudding.
Exactly the same way you do sweet potatoes, but you do it with tomatoes.
And it's a Southern dish, do you think? Yeah.
I think so. Well, so I would think when I grew up, like I said, across from Metal Mine on Barbershop Road, we grew everything that we ate.
Yeah.
So we grew tomatoes, and then my aunt would can them.
Yep.
And so when the tomatoes grew in the summer and the sweet potatoes we grew, as well as the string beans and all that stuff. And those were the things that came to our table so that they grow in the summer. She'd can them, and then they come out at Thanksgiving and Christmas. Tomato pudding. That's what it was called.
Tomato pudding. I have not.
That's what we used to have. And then we used to have for bread in breakfast time, we'd do fried cornbread.
So yum.
Tomato flapjacks. Cornmeal flapjacks. And that would be the bread.
Yeah.
So those are, and collard greens always.
I think it's just 5 pounds.
Well, you know, it's funny because I have to make challah during Thanksgiving every year for the leftovers, because a turkey sandwich, it's kind of a Jewish bread, right? You have it every Saturday for when you break bread. It's a challah bread, and it's like a brioche, a French brioche.
It's like a brioche bread.
And but I have to make it every Thanksgiving for the sandwiches, for the leftover sandwiches.
Oh, yeah.
Because they don't want it on white bread or rye bread or wheat bread. They want it on the challah.
You promise me you'll bring me some.
Oh, I will. Yeah.
And I'll do a tomato pudding for you.
Yeah, there we go. Ooh.
Oh.
Exchange. Gene, what do you get?
Oh, what am I going to bring? I'll tell you what I'm going to bring. I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going to bring right after this break. Yeah. You're listening to The Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. And I know your mouth is watering like mine is. You're just going to have to take a break and be ready for the food when we come back. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back, and we're talking with our wonderful star-studded guests, Dolores, Penny, and Jackie, and we're talking about what meals we would we either had from other regions of the country that you don't see more commonly in the South for Thanksgiving. My contribution to this wonderful table that we're describing but don't have in front of us is rutabaga. Now, I don't think a lot of people make this, and I make it differently now that my brother came for Thanksgiving a year or two ago. He's been here for several years, actually, and gave me a little nuance on how to make it properly. So here's what you do. You peel it. Mm-hmm. You knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take basically a great big heavy knife, which is what it takes to cut it apart into cubes of about an inch, you know. You do this in the morning right after you get up, and you simmer it until the middle of the afternoon. You just have to let this thing simmer and simmer and simmer and simmer.
To take away all the nastiness.
Now, here's what...
I love rutabaga.
Here's what you do for that little problem.
Yeah.
You add the magic ingredient, which is about half a bottle of molasses.
Oh.
And you just let that simmer all day, and it just and you want to put enough water over it to cover it, but not have it, you know, be a lot of extra water. And over the course of the day, the water and those molasses just infuse into that rutabaga and just break it down. This is an extremely fibrous.
Wow. Is it mushy?
Vegetable.
When
so when it's
yeah,
so
because,
when it's
yeah.
done, then you take your masher.
Yeah,
a hand masher, not a mixer. You don't want to puree it or anything. And you just mash that thing down, and it's still very fibrous. And I mention that because there are consequences after you eat this.
But can I go?
It's absolutely fabulous. And it's a vegetable.
Since we're talking about Southern tradition, let's talk about molasses. So did you guys use grandma molasses?
Yes,
because those
what I
are
use.
The only kind you can use, and
that's
they have offshoots. And Penny, did you know
I guess
about?
There's other kinds of molasses, but I don't care.
There are
I didn't
places.
Use molasses until I came south.
Okay.
So up north,
very
it was like a brown sugar.
Right.
If you're going to cook anything,
right.
You really, even though brown sugar is infused with molasses, it's right. It's just white sugar infused with molasses, but not really a whole lot of cooking with it up
that
north.
That was the other thing of a Thanksgiving morning breakfast would be the biscuits, the buttermilk biscuits with grandma molasses in between them.
And I know you probably make those biscuits.
Right? I do.
Of course you do.
I
can't.
Do.
Listen, I've tried and tried, and I'm just going to make this confession. I can't make a decent biscuit. What is the secret
practice
to making?
Practice makes perfect. Absolutely. You have to keep doing it. But it's the right blend of buttermilk with the, and we always put bacon powder in it and salt and lard. So you have to use self-rising flour.
But you add the addition of the baking powder, so you get
so
that
you
little
extra,
extra fluff. Yeah.
So that's the issue that I have is getting them to rise.
You getting hungry, Mom?
You want your lunch now, don't you?
No, you're talking. I'm going to have an attack here. I'm a diabetic.
Me too.
Don't put the molasses in it, dear.
Yeah.
Me too. But you know, it's an exchange or whatever you call it. You know, if we just talk about it, then it doesn't do anything.
Right.
The blood sugar's okay.
You
just talk about it,
though. You can. Take
you can,
a taste
it's so good
it,
you can taste
right.
it, right?
You can just taste it.
I'm trying the rhubarb. I'm trying the rutabaga.
You really got to try it. It's
I roast
absolutely
my rutabaga.
The other thing about that recipe, you know, the odor in your kitchen throughout the day is not bad.
Mm.
It's not bad. And because the idea is to cook it over a very low heat over hours and hours, you can't mess this up. I mean, you're not going to – it's like a crock pot on your stove. You can't overcook it.
So the molasses don't burn.
No.
Because of the water?
You get the water to where it's boiling. You cut it way down to a low simmer.
Yeah.
You add the molasses in and, you know, add as much as you want. You know?
Where do we think this recipe came from? Is it specific to an area of the country?
I don't know. To me, it came from my mom. And in fact, I used
to... But you were Connecticut, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, New Jersey, Connecticut.
Mom was, you know, her parents upstate New York and Maryland. And
do you remember cooking with molasses at all?
I'll have to ask my brother as a follow-up. Dave,
yeah.
Dave, if you're listening in Chicago to the Weekend Water Cooler, and I know you are, you'll have to tell me for a notation for future where this originated from.
The molasses came from the South, so he did that. He learned that somewhere else.
This is my mother made this when we were kids. Now, I didn't eat it when I was a kid because reasons. I don't know why I didn't eat that particularly. I would dive into that stuffing and eat my way out the other side of the room in the stuffing.
Well, maybe it didn't look right to you. You know, food also goes by look. But
that's true.
You know,
that's true. And it looked like this mashed up brown. It comes out with this beautiful caramel brown color. And, you know, I look at it now and I think, you know, good Lord. I mean, and it's sweet. Who wouldn't want to eat that? It's like sweeter than a sweet potato.
Sometimes your eyes, though, what they see.
They just
go with a lot of green vegetables sometimes when they're mashed up and stuff like that.
Now, when my mother was in her decline, I brought my own lunch and included in it was some creamed spinach. And I said, hey, Mom, this is creamed spinach. You know, you want some? Who made me eat my spinach when I was a kid? Let me tell you, it was my mom. Eat that spinach. And I said to her, hey, Mom, you want some? This spinach is really good. It's creamed spinach. You want some? She made a face like I cannot describe to you. She thought this was the most disgusting, revolting idea ever. And I said, are you the same person who was making me eat all that spinach? She said, well, that's different. You needed it.
Leafy spinach.
She said, you never saw me eat that, did you? I can't stand cream spinach. Blech.
That's pretty funny.
But that's visual, so.
See, that's right.
Smell
she
and
just,
visual.
That's right. A lot of how you taste food and experience it is how you first see it. You're exactly right.
Well, Penny, I think you'll remember, and maybe Jackie too, the Popeye thing.
Oh, yeah.
So when Popeye ate spinach, it was...
Right.
And so when I tried spinach, I was mad because
I didn't like it.
I didn't know how he ate it. I didn't like spinach.
Yeah, plus, don't forget, that's Popeye
funny.
Didn't cook it. He just squeezed that can
and
right.
it flew
in his
through
mouth.
The air and into his mouth, and then he had an instant muscle.
Yeah.
So didn't happen for me.
What
I was
happened?
Mad.
That did not happen mm-hmm. for me either. But so
but
I was just stuck with
pipe.
I liked it. Yeah. Oh, what was in that pipe anyway? That might explain. That's a good
thing.
I don't know what was in the pipe, but
he could also do things with his arm that I've never seen except at an orthopedist's office.
Right.
How he could spin his arm around so he could knock Bluto out.
Carlton, have you ever seen Papa?
I think I have, once or twice, probably nine times an episode. Anyway.
So Carlton's going to tell us that Popeye is a chicken chain.
Yeah.
Which it is. To be fair, it totally is.
Right.
Really good chicken, by the way.
It's good.
You know, is that Louisiana spicy, yummy, yummy chicken?
Mm. Did we find out from you, Carlton, what your favorite dish was at Thanksgiving time?
Yeah, what was yours?
I think, that's a tough one. I think when I was little at my grandmother's house, it was just the stuffing. Or it had to be the biscuits, too. And when I was really little, I was really picky, so I liked the simple thing. So the stuffing and the biscuits were, like, that was my jam.
Okay, what's your favorite pie?
I would have to go with apple pie, but I'm still cake. We also had cake at Thanksgiving.
You had cake?
We had cake. And, we had cake and pie. We had a lot.
We
had
did
a lot.
Too.
But we had some cake.
What cake?
Pound cake.
Pound cake.
What? No.
Mm-mm.
You had to have a pound cake.
No way.
It was all about the apple pie.
Oh, yuck, no. Sweet potato pie.
Yeah, sweet potato. My ex loved the sweet potato pie. And pecans. Pecan pie was one of those things that had to be on there.
That was a rarity.
Yeah.
When you had pecan pie, it was something special.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I lived in Louisiana for a while, down in New Orleans,
right.
And that was the pie that when you said pie, everyone thought you were talking about pecan pie. They didn't think about apple pie or cherry pie or anything.
What I think is interesting is I think about sweet potato pie and then some folk talk about pumpkin pie. We never had pumpkin pie.
Yeah,
it was always sweet potato.
Always
sweet potato.
I agree with that. I don't remember the pumpkin pie thing. I think it was always sweet potato. Also, yeah. And Jean, you're probably like going. I see that face. You're.
Jean is apoplectic. Every year. Look, I never made a pecan pie until about 15 years ago or something. And my husband loves pecan pie. And my sister said, "You don't make pecan pie?" And I said, "No, I never learned how." She said, "As only your older sister can do." And I said, "What's so funny?" She said, "That's the easiest pie in the world." I said, "Give me your recipe." She goes, "Buy a bottle of Karo syrup."
That's right.
It's on the bottle.
Yeah.
And she said, "This is the easiest pie. You can't screw it up." I said, "Okay, I got to try that." Well, she's right. I can't screw it up. I make a very good pecan pie because I follow the Karo syrup recipe.
That's right.
But I never would have Thanksgiving without a pumpkin pie.
Mm-mm. Oh, that's so.
And I make I make a killer apple pie too. I'm just going to tell it to you straight.
So funny.
What about the starches? We always had to have potato salad. Always have
potato salad. No mashed potatoes.
That's my specialty. Mashed potatoes with loaded up with a fried rice.
Onions.
Excuse me.
Really?
I fry up a lot of onions and
a lot of butter.
This is a great idea.
It was delicious. That I like. And as far as all you wonderful bakers here, I didn't bake. I went to the bakery and bought stuff.
Well, look,
let's
be fair. Now you grew, this was in New York.
Jersey. In
Jersey, but still. In the region.
Yes.
In that region,
yes.
If I had that bakery around my neighborhood, that's where I'd be going to.
That's right.
This was a fine
bakery.
Paris Bakery.
Paris. Great bakery.
And the cookies. We did have the cookies. The specialty cookies. He's shaking his head. He remembers that.
Totally missing out.
I have a question. What about the gravy?
Oh.
You got to make the gravy.
How do you make the gravy, Jackie?
Tell the truth.
How did I make the
Tell
gravy?
Tell the truth, Mom.
Our Parisian cousins thought I was great. I made Normandy gravy. And what I did is I opened a can of mushrooms.
Cream of mushrooms.
Cream of mushrooms.
Okay.
And I doctored up a little butter, a little of this, and that was my gravy.
Okay. And it was called sauce Normandy.
Okay, so the real way to do it
is
to heat up the frying pan,
right.
Let it get hot. You can put some oil in it or butter or not. Then you take your flour, sprinkle your flour in there, let it brown the way it wants
make
to.
A
and
roux.
Maybe put a little
you make
starch
it start
in it.
Start with
now.
A roux.
Yes.
Right.
And then put a little water in it and watch it start to get hot and bubbly and then start.
Right.
That's your gravy.
Yeah,
that's how we used to do it. Depending on what you put it in, season it.
So I actually
do
it.
You put water in it. You put the juices
from the turkey.
In
that's
it.
What I was going to say.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I take some of the leftover fat from the turkey that's been cooking all day.
Right. And the color, you get the color from. Flour brown.
Yes.
From browning
yes.
It right,
you
got to
do
that.
That's
the
real
stuff. And why would anybody, when you taste that, and some people strain it, and I'm thinking, what? You're going to take all the good stuff out of it? What
know,
are you
lumps.
Talking about?
Not the lumps. The lumps is the best.
Leave the lumps.
Well, mine was very good, too. They did eat it.
I know. Yeah, see, that's it. That's it. And you gave it a great name. Marketing.
I didn't give it a name. These people from Paris there gave it the name. She just was devouring the gravy there.
Campbell Soup Company gave it
Campbell
that
Soup,
name.
Campbell Soup, yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to, this is very enlightening. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. Please don't go away. There's much more to come. And we're back. We're back with the rich girls. You're a rich girl. Okay, you know that song.
Yeah.
You know that song. Okay.
Hall & Oates.
Yeah, Hall & Oates. Man, we're old. We're so old.
We are.
Okay, so so I'm going to tell you this story about that you'll appreciate because you're a chef. My brother's a chef, and I went to his house. This is some years ago for Thanksgiving, and I'm in his kitchen. He takes a turkey, he puts it on this counter, and he pulls out his boning knife, and he takes the turkey apart like you would a chicken. And he's, you know, and it's all in the roasting tray, and here's, you know, here's the breasts, and here's the legs, and here's the thighs, and here's the wings. And I said, you know, why did you do that? And he said, well, because I can cook the turkey in about an hour by doing that. And I need the oven for other stuff. And he says, you know, when you're cooking institutionally, you don't have these sentimental ideas about Norman Rockwell and about bringing the big tray out and carving the turkey at the table. Who does that anymore, anyway, by the way?
That's right.
So he did that, took that turkey apart, cooked it, and I sat there and watched him do the whole thing. First of all, I was very impressed with his knife skills at taking a 20-plus pound turkey apart and reducing it to its segments. And then, being my grandmother's grandson, he took the bones and put them in a pot and started making stock and just said, okay, that'll be ready tomorrow.
Right.
And so nothing was wasted, but I just was astonished that I just would never have thought of that, of just treating it just like you would a chicken.
Yeah.
You would do that with a chicken in a hot minute, but it cut down his cooking time tremendously to do that. And he said, well, you know, why would you ever... I said, well, why would you ever roast it in the oven? Well, I mean, there are some benefits to roasting it like that. Please tell me I'm right about this. I mean, I still roast my turkey, but I will tell you that on Thanksgiving, I have like a dozen people this year for Thanksgiving at my house. I'm up at about 7 o'clock.
Right.
The turkey is done by 11. And we take it all apart. We, you know, carve it all apart and, you know, make sure it's done. Take it all apart, and it's all on steam trays. And so before anybody arrives, the turkey is all done.
It's already cooked.
Because having this high-stakes thing of, okay, we said dinner would be at 2, and now we're going to take the turkey out, let it rest, see if it's really done. Oops, it's not. Everybody, we have to wait another half hour. I've tried that, and I didn't enjoy it very much.
And, you know, I think you're right. I actually don't think people bring turkeys to the table anymore. And if they do... It's really risky. I mean, it really is. Because I think turkey is so variable, right? If the turkey has a lot of water in it, it'll cook differently. And now there's this article I read that, you know, the whole brining thing that everybody was into for so many years. Not so much. I never brined a turkey, I have to say. I just like the idea of putting the turkey in the oven.
Right.
But like your brother, I would have had no problem cutting that turkey in half.
Right, right.
And I might not have butchered it like he did, but I have no problem cutting it in half. I do with my chickens. Butterfly it open and, you know, cook it down.
Spatchcocking it or something like that.
Yeah, cook it down. So
I've
the interesting
that. That's
thing.
Really terrific. You get a great result with the chicken doing that.
The interesting thing in my house is, most folks that come to my Thanksgiving don't particularly like the turkey breast. And turkeys are all breast.
Yeah.
I mean, and so what do? I buy extra legs and I cook up the legs. So
that's smart.
We have
I
we
might do that. This
yeah.
Year.
Well, the because there's only two legs and if you have 12 people, what are you flipping coins? Who gets
the
leg?
Well, you know, then the guys are taking it out in the backyard to duke it out over the legs.
The
reason so much that they went away from eating the dark meat or the legs.
Right.
Is because of all this watching your diet, because the legs are a little bit more fatty.
They're a little bit fattier.
And have a little more calories in it.
And therefore more delicious.
But that's why they taste good.
Even though the breast can be moist, it's not as moist as the legs would be.
That's true.
That's when you need the sauce of Normandy to put on
there.
Drown that stuff out. But, you know, your brother's absolutely right. So, I mean, I do the same thing you do. I cook that turkey earlier on, get that turkey out of the oven, put everything back in the oven that I had made a couple of days before, the potatoes, the sweet potatoes, roast up the Brussels sprouts. Everything is, like, back in the oven.
Just to warm up.
Yeah, that turkey's hanging out, you know, resting a little bit, gets on the platters. Then when I take everything out of the oven that's going to be the side dishes, the turkey goes back into the oven just to warm up. I mean, it's just slight.
Right.
I also think we put way too much pressure on ourselves during Thanksgiving to make this perfect meal. No one cares. No one cares. You've got to remember
about
that.
How it looks on the table.
No one cares.
They care about how it tastes.
They want the quantity of food because everybody's laughing and joking and having a couple of beers and watching football. They want to be nourished. They want the love of their family. They want to talk about wonderful things. And, you know, no one cares that you don't come to the table in the Norman Rockwell style and, you know, carve the turkey breast at the table.
Yeah.
No one cares.
That's right.
Don't do it.
It's not going to make, you know, if it turns out badly, that will create the Thanksgiving that everybody remembered.
It'll be awful, right? Yeah.
But
you cut into it and this pink juice flows out of it.
Why do you want to create that moment?
No.
And everybody's sitting there and, you know, and waiting and, you know, they're licking their lips and they can't wait. And you just say, okay, well, everybody come back in half an hour.
Yeah.
Well, we never had that problem because we didn't have our turkey dinner at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We had it more toward the evening, 5 or 6 o'clock. So
after
because we were too busy watching
my
which
father
football
had to watch
we
football.
Were going to watch.
Right.
My father was a football fiend, and he would not miss the games.
So we tried.
So you had to move the meal.
But it was very good for us that way. You know, we had used to have in the morning a nice brunch or breakfast. And
It'll be fun, and
really love to, you know, dog
and apple pie. Should I tell my apple pie story?
Well, you know what? We're going to
take
our last quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to finish with pie.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because you know, pie is how you wrap up Thanksgiving.
There you go.
And you know, it's quite a story if you haven't heard Penny's awesome pie story, Thanksgiving pie story. Listening to the Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. Please don't go away because you do not want to miss this. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back for our final moments here with Jackie and Penny Rich. Quite the dynamic duo, I must say, on every level I can imagine. So here's what I want to know. Penny, do you have any unusual stories about Thanksgiving that that people might find amusing, say, regarding, I don't know, a pie?
So, first of all, let me just do a quick intro. When I did my first water cooler with you, we were talking about food. And
yes,
you asked
me
about an interesting food story, and I told you about the Thanksgiving apple pie. And it's been a joke of ours for a couple of years now. I think you've been doing this for 2 years, maybe
an
a little
epic
bit longer.
Story, yes.
So we used to, when I was just in my 20s, and not my sisters or one's older than me, and I have one younger, Mom used to come up from Florida. And we used to either be in my apartment in New York City or my sister's apartment in Tenafly, New Jersey. And so the year before, we had been in my sister's apartment in Tenafly, New Jersey, and we had Thanksgiving. You know, Mom, I don't know. You might not have been this because – well, anyway, we had a really nice Thanksgiving, and, you know, I guess we got really full. We never had dessert that Thanksgiving. We just didn't – we weren't really – we ate so much.
Yeah.
So we helped her put it away, watched TV, you know. Let's fast forward a couple of months later.
Is this sister among the greater cooks in your family?
She's horrible. She's one of the horrible cooks in the family.
She'd say this with love.
She is. I think she can boil water for spaghetti. That's probably her limit.
Okay.
Although she has a grill outside now, so she occasionally turns the grill on. Yeah, yeah, which is a good thing.
She does cook a little bit now.
Yeah. A little bit, yeah, a little bit,
okay.
You know. So.
Okay.
Anyway, so I don't think, Mom, you were there. My other sister and I went over and we were going to have dinner. And I said, well, you know, don't worry about it. I'll cook. I know you don't like to cook. So I turned the oven on. And all of a sudden.
This was the next year.
This is close to the next year.
Okay.
Close to the next year. Close to Thanksgiving.
Okay.
I think it was right. It might have been right around Thanksgiving. I don't know. Do you?
I don't
know if Jackie was there. Anyway, it was close, though. It was about a year later.
Right.
And I turned the oven on because I was going to make something in the oven, and the house starts filling up with smoke. And she lived on the top floor of a house, and we're running around and opening up the windows and all, and I'm like, Marcy, what do you got going on? Why is there smoke coming out? We open up the oven door. The apple pie from a year ago from Thanksgiving was in the oven. And I said to my sister, number one, I guess we forgot to put the apple pie away, but have you not cooked since last year? Have you not lit the oven since last year? And she said, well, no, I don't cook.
Well, no.
So that apple pie from Thanksgiving lived in the oven for an entire year until I turned the oven back on and smoked it.
Without an infestation of any
nothing.
Kind. That's
nothing. It's amazing.
Wow.
She didn't smell it. She didn't. She nothing. And there it was, this black apple pie. And she, you know, when I said it to her, she
black.
It was black.
Black old pie.
I had charred this thing to death because it had probably sat in there and was. It was pretty funny. Oh. And at first she was like appalled, but then we kind of laughed it off, and then we went out for dinner because. God, we couldn't stay in there.
Yeah, because of the air quality was, you know, like 2018 California,
right.
Probably in that apartment. Oh,
but
my goodness.
The thought of, like, you know, okay, you could.
Oh
so I've left things in the oven before and forgot about it, right? And then you wake up the next morning, like, oh, darn. And you throw it away.
I know. You
and,
put a casserole back in to keep it warm or whatever, and you forget.
And you forget. We've all done that.
Everybody's done that, yeah.
But this is a year later. And I'm lighting the oven, and the house is just filling up with smoke. Gene, it was pretty funny, but I have to say, that poor apple pie, I mean, we should have eaten it.
Somebody worked hard to make that apple pie.
It was probably me.
And this is the thanks you got.
Yeah.
It was probably you.
Mom, I don't think you were there, but your daughter definitely takes after you when it comes to cooking.
I don't think so, because I like to cook.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Even if it's not necessarily in the top five skills that you have in the whole world, you still like it.
Yeah.
You can still be, you can still enjoy it if you're not the greatest at it.
It doesn't mean that if you cook good food, if it's not gourmet style food, that's true.
Yes, that's true.
That's true. I roast a chicken or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't make faces.
Do you feel adventurous in the kitchen at all?
Penny does all the cooking.
Why do I do all the cooking?
Because she's the best cook in the world.
Thank you.
That's a good point. That's a good point. A totally unsolicited testimonial. Because why?
It's interesting. When Jackie moved in, when we just moved in together, I said to her, you know, you don't have to worry about cooking. I'll make everything. And she's like, I can fix my own breakfast and lunch. And I was like, that's fine. But if I'm cooking dinner for myself, you know, I'll just do that.
Yeah,
it's kind of silly for us both to be in there. So I think actually she gets a good, I think you get a good deal out of it. This bargain is really,
Not what I get the best deal out of. Usually if she's there and we have dinner and she cooks dinner. We have cocktail time first.
Yeah, that's the real deal.
And I never did that before.
See, that's the real deal.
That's it. You know, at 89, you need cocktails.
I know, and you gotta order exotic things. You want an umbrella in that drink or something, right? I mean,
olives. She likes
some
the
nice
olives
and some fruit, you know. And does she put on maybe a Hawaiian skirt or something? Really give you something flashy?
No, I put on MSNBC so she can throw crap at the TV.
Yeah, you know. Listen, I listen about that. Yeah, here's what you gotta have. You gotta have an assortment of things that you can throw at the TV without damaging the
TV. Socks, newspaper. What else do you
throw? Excellent solution.
Yeah. Things like, you know.
Ballots. Florida ballots.
There you go.
You could wad them up, you know, into a ball and then throw that.
She used to live in Florida, so she yells at the TV.
I yell at it. That's all. I holler at it.
I do the same thing.
I use a little cuss words, you know.
Right. Just to liven things up.
Yeah.
I have a theory, by the way, about our political dialogue in the country as a whole, which is that things are really going to start accelerating in a way that we've not seen before. When people on TV, especially elected officials and former elected officials, start cursing on live TV, when they just are like, you know, throw down their notes, I can't stand this anymore. This whole thing is a blankety blank mess.
Yeah,
and I think that we're almost there.
We've
seen a couple of very nearby incidents.
Very close. And you know, it's interesting how we always go back into politics, but I'm really hoping that there are no real arguments at the Thanksgiving table this year. I mean, I hope people just take the politics out of it and enjoy their families, and really. Like, just try not to talk about this stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what. At my house, here's my philosophy about it. I feel like this year, I didn't feel this way last year, but I feel like this year we've earned a day off.
Absolutely.
And I think we should take it.
We should take it.
And,
we should.
And we should embrace each other and say, look, you know, we did the right thing. We got this giant turnout. We've started to steer the ship in a better direction. Yeah. Let's just take a day and be thankful that the country has reacted in the way that we would hope.
That's right.
I think I think the momentum of all this winning, if you really want to be a winner, you have to know when and when not. This is not the time.
That's right. Yeah, and now's the
tomorrow
time for everybody to get a breath.
Yeah.
And connect with people.
Be with your family. Be with your friends. My goodness.
The best protection for our democracy.
That's right.
Is for our families to continue supporting each other.
Yep.
And that includes letting Penny get on with the rest of her afternoon.
Oh, my goodness.
And yours, too, because, I mean, the lineup of people who are waiting for Penny to come on to the next thing today is quite impressive. I thank you both for being so generous with your time today, and and I hope you have an absolutely spectacular Thanksgiving, and I cannot wait to see pictures of these various meals and items that we've talked about.
Yeah. We wish you a happy Thanksgiving as well.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
And
Jackie,
all the best for the coming year.
Thank you. The same to you. I'm looking forward to the 90th. We don't say when the party will be.
We'll
it's going to be
know.
A private
we'll
affair.
Let you know.
Do you notice that she said year without an R at the end of it? That's because her New York accent never left. She said year.
Yeah. Well, that's how you pronounce it.
Oh,
what are you
okay.
talking? I don't know what she's talking about.
I don't either.
I'm from Jersey.
Jersey, baby. That's how it rolls in Jersey. Well, thanks for joining us, Jersey Jackie, and daughter of Jersey Jackie. What's your name again? Penny. Yes, Penny. That's right. Penny Rich. Thank you both so much. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving day. Be good to your families. Try to keep it, you know, try to stay out of jail today. It's not worth fighting over unless it's a turkey leg, which could be. But have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Follow Gene on Twitter at Gene Bolduc and tweet your comments and questions with the hashtag WCHL.